This is the FCB Podcast Network. This is the Outlaws Extra.
Welcome to the Outlaws Extra. This is Darvio the Kingpin. Marl, don't forget to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheOutlawsRadio. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Outlaws Radio. We have another special edition of the Outlaws Extra. Today we have a special interview with Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin. He's been on this show before. And we're going to talk about several issues. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to rebuild the middle class from a policy perspective. We're going to talk about the controversy that some of you may have seen me tweet about on Twitter. If you're not following me, make sure you follow me at D the Kingpin. That's DTHEKINGPIN. The controversy over the West Side Market, of course. As I'm talking about, and we'll get into a little bit in the show for those of you who are not aware. But also for those of you who are not aware, make sure that you follow me on Twitter. You'll see my commentary on it and a whole host of issues. So, of course, as always, those of you who are familiar with our Outlaws Extras, you know how this goes. We're going to take a break now and then we will air the interview in its entirety. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Outlaws Extra.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Outlaws Radio Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Outlaws Extra. Make sure that you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to the show on Apple, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review and a comment. It's very important for the algorithm. And for those of you who have done so, thank you oh so very much. And now let's get to our interview with Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin.
All right, we have a very special guest on the show today. He's been on this show before. Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin, welcome back. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Darvio. How you doing today? The Outlaw family, how you all doing?
We're good. So obviously there's a lot of conversation going on right now about ARPA dollars and the way that they're being spent and what they're being spent on and all that kind of stuff. So let's start at the beginning first. Tell people, for people who don't know, what are ARPA dollars? What is that?
So ARPA dollars are American Rescue Plan Act dollars that were an extension of the COVID-19 relief dollars that the federal government and President Biden and the federal government sent to cities who were disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. Those dollars were often, Cleveland was number 8 in the largest amount that we received total, which was approximately $511.5 million. And the reason why is because of how many people were impacted by COVID-19. Now, those communities that were disproportionately impacted, if anybody goes and looks at the maps, were 44106, 44104, 44135, 44120, all of those, 44103, all of those cities, all of the parts of the city that are poor BIPOC communities were the areas that had the most deaths of COVID-19. So that's how they actually calculated the dollars, because they really wanted to focus on cities who experienced a disproportionate impact of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, what has council so far done with the ARPA dollars? You know, what are some of the things that you guys have invested in? And talk a little bit about that and the significance of it.
So we put money into food insecurity because we have put money into the food bank in order to help them with their capacity issues because they had to serve so many more people during the COVID-19 pandemic. We gave $20 million that we put towards broadband. We put millions of dollars towards gap financing to help with some catalytic projects and projects in neighborhoods. We've put $15 million or more into demolishing housing and getting rid of blight in neighborhoods. We put a lot of money into domestic violence because domestic violence and child abuse, many of those cases were getting backed up because they didn't have enough workers and they didn't have enough people to handle the caseload. So we put money into primary fixed assets and also where we had gaps in service. But the largest amount of money that we put away went to what was called rescue recovery. We lost a lot of money in emissions tax, income tax, and other type of income that we bring into the city of Cleveland. And because we lost that amount, we were able under ARPA to put that back into the general fund in order to cover some of those gaps.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came out recently, I think within the last week or so, is the utilities assistance. I know that that's something that people would be interested in, particularly those who are struggling. So talk a little bit about that.
So just this week, we passed utility assistance. And what we did is about 4,000 people who are CPP, not First Energy, but Cleveland Public Power and Cleveland Division of Water customers. We still have some customers that are 90 days or behind because they had economic hardships during the COVID-19 pandemic. And when we had those folks that went through those economic hardships, many of them got on a payment plan. So what we're doing now is we're going to give them relief. Since they've made the good faith effort to get on a payment plan, we're going to cancel out that debt. And it also takes care of accounts that are delinquent in our city database. So it's one of those win-wins for government and especially for people who are still experiencing economic hardship coming out of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. And you've also done...
And those are only residential customers, by the way. Not just not business customers, but residential customers.
Okay. 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 That's good to know. We're talking with Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin. And also, you guys did medical debt relief, right, with the ARPA dollars. Talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, we did. We allocated $2 million for medical debt relief. We know that a lot of people are still dealing with medical debt. And Darby, I got to tell you this story. So I pulled an old bill from a relative that... They showed me. And the bill, the first line of the bill said, it is shameful that you have not paid this debt. This wow. is a collection debt. So could you imagine a 75, 80-year-old, 85-year-old person getting that kind of a letter and the amount of stress that it takes because, you know, that generation believes in making sure that they pay their bills and do things the right way and that they would get that kind of a letter. So now... we're going to alleviate that just like they do as debt collectors, where we would actually deal with a company named RIP, Debt Relief, and they will purchase the amount of debt from these hospitals. And then people will receive a letter in the mail saying your debt has been paid and you now are made whole.
Wow. Wow. And
a total of about 50,000 people, and it will relieve about $190 million worth of debt with a $2 million investment.
Wow. That was going to be my next question. Wow. That impacts a lot of people, especially with something as serious as that, like medical debt can make people go broke, can make people go bankrupt. So, you know, that's a pretty big deal. I know another thing that you guys, tackle was violence prevention. Obviously, that's something that's important right now, considering what the city is going through and what cities all across the country are going through. Talk a little bit about your violence prevention efforts.
So we just actually had a hearing where several people that are on the front lines of violence prevention, and a lot of them do it out of just the goodness of their heart. But we're looking at potentially working with the Cleveland Foundation in order to try to create a revolving fund where we could actually replenish it every year due to the foundation's ability to leverage an investment that we can make and create more money through some of their other funders, as well as the interest that they would gain from that money being put in there. And just like every other donor, we will have an ability to direct where and how we want that money to work.
Okay. So it sounds like, there's a lot of initiatives, a lot of plans that you guys have done to help people in the city. A lot of things that have happened with the ARPA dollars that people aren't really talking about. But there is one thing that apparently everybody seems to be talking about in the city right now. And I want to get your views on the record. Obviously, it's about the West Side Market and the controversy surrounding that. So from your perspective and the perspective of city council, what is your position on the $15 million request that they have to use ARPA dollars to go to the West Side Market?
Well, as I've said before, my question has been, is that $15 million more than we can afford right now? And the reason why is because we have competing interests across the city. So once again, I think the market is a very valuable asset. We do want to put money into the market with ARPA dollars, but we also want to make sure that we make critical investments across the city and neighborhoods. So that's our job as council. We're simply just doing our job, which is vetting all of the competing interests and trying to figure out how we could build a consensus around where we want to set the priorities for the city of Cleveland. Now, let me give you some facts, Darvio, that you really need to know. A lot of people don't know that we have already been funding the market. In the last 4 years, out of $40.5 million in bonding that we've done, which pays for all capital improvement projects, be it rec centers, be it roads, streets, bridges, the money that we have to pay for infrastructure in the city of Cleveland, out of $40.5 million that we bonded, $10.5 has gone to the West Side Market, which is approximately 20% or more, about 20% of the total amount of money that we bonded has gone. So we have already been putting money into the West Side Market. We also passed a structure where we asked the nonprofit board to take over, which is something that they have been trying to do for a long time. And this council made it happen. And the reason we made it happen because they said that they will put forth a very good business plan, a business model that can help increase revenue for the market. They also believe that they could raise money from private and philanthropic sources. So all that is great. So I'm willing to put the city share in, but I want to understand the business plan. I want to understand how we're going to do all of these other repairs. What is the schedule? We don't even know what the operating agreement is with the market yet. So there's just a lot of uncertainties that everybody wants to make this about politics, but this is not about politics. This is about competing priorities and making sure that we're making strategic investments.
So I know the last time I saw you speak about this, you had mentioned that they haven't shown you, what the business plan or what the strategic plan for the market is that they have. Have they shown you that yet, or are you
actually
still
I have a meeting right after you and I meet today, because now it's a sense of urgency to sit down and go over the strategic plan with me. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And, at the end of the day, we'll see how far that goes. But once again, we're doing our job as council. But I do want to mention one other thing. I also want to talk about we made a strategic investment to finalize Central Visa, which is going to be the heartbeat of the Hispanic community. We've put money into birthing beautiful communities. We put money into rebuilding Wood Hill Estates. Once again, we put money into youth education. And then we are looking at putting money into a very significant fund around brownfield site remediation. So all of these things, infill housing, all of these things are what I'm talking about when I'm talking about competing priorities across the city, that we have to try to put money into infrastructure and other things across the city.
Right. And so as the council president, obviously, like you just mentioned, your job is to kind of see, you know, the whole city, the needs of the whole city. And when we're talking about, you know, these ARPA dollars, these one-time dollars that can really be used to great benefit of the city if they're used properly. What, from the things that you've seen, you're in every neighborhood across the city. What do you think is the most pressing need for the city right now in terms of using what's left of the ARPA dollars?
Housing, 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 and more housing. Getting more infill housing, making sure that we get more home repair dollars, making sure that we have money to demolish houses, making sure that we have brownfield remediation so that we could have site acquisition and try to make sure that we make sites available for business growth. The other thing that I think, you know, is something that we did pass as well that I think is critical for trying to recruit some of our safety forces are retention bonuses for a lot of the police officers. Council passed that. I know the officers are waiting for that to get to hit with the administration, but we have looked at that as well with retention bonuses.
Mm-hmm. And also, we're talking with Cleveland City Council President Blaine Griffin. And once again, I want to thank you for your time as always. And know that you're very busy, got a lot of things going on. So as we get ready to wind down here in a little bit so you can get to your meeting. One thing that I've heard you say before, you've said it on the show before, and I heard you at a community meeting yesterday mention it again. And that is rebuilding the middle class in the city. When I first heard you say that, that really stood out to me because I don't know of many politicians in the city where that's even on their radar. Talk a little bit about why that's important and some of the things that you think the city can do to help rebuild that middle class.
So Cleveland is a Dickensian model of a city. You know, if you ever read Charles Dickens' tale, The Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and the worst of times. It's the best of times in certain areas that are affluent, growing, booming. Areas like Ohio City and Tremont and downtown, you know, areas similar to where the West Side Market is at. But then we have areas that are struggling, areas that the market, not West Side Market, but the capital markets won't go. We have areas across this city that are struggling from extreme poverty and have islands of poverty. So in any society, the way to address that is really to try to make sure we grow middle class people and middle class jobs with family sustaining wages. So what do I mean by that? You know, our parents and our grandparents, the greatest generation that ever lived, really most of them put us through college and got us educated by working as factory workers that made it as working in hospitals, made it working on assembly lines, made it working in, you know, all those different industries. So what my goal is to try to really bring family sustaining wage jobs back to the inner city of Cleveland, to the core city of Cleveland, not Solon, not way out in Broadview or other places like that, but really make sure that we put them where they're accessible, where people can actually walk to work, people can take public transportation to work and make good family sustaining wages, and then deal with the best way to create wealth possible, which is start dealing with home ownership. And then that's the way that you build strong neighborhoods. A lot of people, I think, say, oh, well, if you fix schools and you fix crime and you fix all those things, then everybody will come back to your neighborhood. I think that the poor, dilapidated and deteriorated schools and the crime that we're experiencing is because we don't have strong, stable neighborhoods. So we really need to reinvest and double down on population increase and bringing back family sustaining wage jobs and people that are in the middle class back to the city of Cleveland. Because right now we're dealing with two extremes, extremely poor and people that are doing pretty good.
Right, right. And you mentioned the population issue. Obviously, there's been a population decline across the city. Some neighborhoods have done better than others. But in a lot of the areas that you're talking about, a lot of that is concentrating on the east side, and you cannot get the population to go up in the city until you address some of the issues that are going on in these east side neighborhoods. And I know that you mentioned briefly some of the housing developments that you guys are supporting. Talk a little bit more about some of the infill housing and some of the other things that you guys have done with the ARPA dollars, you know, trying to address this issue.
Well, we put a lot of money aside to try to help with infill housing, down payment assistance, and those kind of things, because a lot of people don't, and gap assistance. Let me just give you a case in point. If I'm building a house in Solon, it costs me the same amount of money to build a house in Solon as it does for me to build a house in Fairfax. But the issue is the amount that I can probably get for the house in Solon is going to probably be the market price. Whereas in the inner city, because of some of the things you just mentioned around the perception and reality of crime and other things that we have to deal with, people aren't willing to pay the same amount for the same kind of house in the city as they would in the suburbs. So a lot of times you need gap financing in order to cover that amount. Because if the house runs, let's say $220,000, you know, you could probably get that amount in Solon, but in Cleveland, you probably won't get 220, but you can maybe get 150, which means that somebody needs to step in and write off that $70,000 that is lost because the house really costs $220,000 to build. That's where you make investments in gap financing and help around community development so that we could try to do more infill housing. So that's what we do when you talk about infill housing. Now, what we're really trying to do and what we're really trying to cobble together is a lot of the edge communities and middle neighborhoods, your Collinwoods, your Lee Harvards, your North and South Collinwoods, your Lee Harvards, your Cam's Corner, Bel Air Paradise, Old Brooklyn. Those are edge and middle neighborhood communities that—
Define that real quick. What's edge and middle neighborhoods?
So edge and middle neighborhoods are like those neighborhoods that are competing with your inner ring suburbs. So okay. The ones that are like competing against Euclid, Lakewood, Shaker Heights, Parma, those are edge neighborhoods because their competition is not dealing with downtown, but they're really, you know, people could move two blocks over and live in Warrensville instead of Lee Harvard. So that's why we're really trying to focus on infill housing and growing some of those areas as well, especially in those areas that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And so I would assume that the edge or, you know, so-called middle neighborhoods, their needs are a little different than the really wealthy neighborhoods or the really poor neighborhoods.
Exactly. Because like you said,
they're competing, right?
Exactly. They often don't fit. Is one of those situations where most people in life find themselves where you make too much money to qualify for programs for poor people, but you don't make enough money to live like you really would like to. And you fall right in that middle. You fall right on that edge. And that's exactly the kind of population that we want to reinvest in. That's the population that has made America great. That's the population that lives primarily in inner ring suburbs now, that we want to try to make sure to say, hey, the same stuff is happening in these inner ring suburbs. We need you in Cleveland. We need you in Cleveland so that the heart of the region can survive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right, I know you got to get out of here. Let everybody know how to follow you on social media if they want to get in touch with you, all that good stuff.
So on Twitter is Griff4CLE6. On Instagram is Griff4CLE6. And then on Facebook is President Blaine A. Griffin.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. President, for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you. And keep up the good work. Enjoy you guys.
All right. Appreciate it.
Once again, thank you to Blaine Griffin for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. We are out of here. We'll see you next time. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.